Welcome to Mamaki Talks Podcast with your hosts, Cassandra Angus and Kelsey Shania Ray.
This is a space where we explore womanhood, sisterhood, and relational reality, our connection to ourselves, our souls, the earth, and each other.
We are so warmed that you're gathering with us today. In this episode, we unravel with lavender and touch the delicate essence of grace, beauty, and poise, tugging on the rug of the feminist movements and confessing the longing to tend to hearth and home rather than striving to build empirical businesses, embracing nature's design to live from a slower, gentler, and more rhythmic foundation focused on nurturance, connection, and community. We hope that in this space, lavender offers you the gift of softening any armor so that you feel safe in your unique, beauty-filled opening and longings.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Mamaki Talks, where today we're going to be deepening our exploration with the lavender. And it's been a long time since we recorded our last lavender session, even though we haven't uploaded that yet. But I just think it's amazing that through this time, Cassandra, you had fresh lavender the last time we recorded, and I was working with dried lavender, and now we've completely switched, and the fresh lavender is finally here in Vancouver, BC, and in New Zealand. It's coming into fall, so it's just so wild. And I'm so happy to be with the lavender again in a fresh way. And so to ground us all into the frequency and the vibration of the lavender, I invite you, if it's available to you, to just close your eyes, allowing yourself to become connected in a deeper way with more presence with your breath. Taking a deep breath in, imagining that you are smelling a lavender satchel or a lavender bush. Or perhaps you're breathing in the warm summer air that is flowing within a whole lavender garden. Just inviting this lavender scent to consume you. Inviting this bright, calming purple color, this beautiful violet, lilac color to bathe you, and just to relax your body, receiving this cleansing color, almost like the violet flame, just letting this wash over you, cleansing you, purifying you. We just thank you so much, lavender, for being here with us now, for sharing your wisdom, for offering us your medicine. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for guiding that connection to the essence of lavender. It was really fascinating to experience what it is that you we're opening to with relation to the spirit, the Wairua of lavender. And I can feel it again, you know, not quite as strongly as our first call, but that it really is such an incredible softness that almost disperses energy so that it's not so dense and it's not so busy. Is everything has to disperse and slow at the same time. So it's not about dispersing and disconnecting, but it's dispersing and creating a spaciousness within it. And yeah, lavender has been with me a lot since our last call. I, as you know, went on a big 5-week road trip on the North Island of Aotearoa. And I carried a bundle with me the whole time. And I had put some of the lavender in a pouch and carried it with me and eventually sat with it in a tea ceremony, which is incredibly non-traditional when it comes to tea ceremonies. But it was quite profound to experience her in that way and on that level. Because to be honest, lavender is not one of my favorites to drink. Usually I'll just have it around as for its beauty, and on occasion I'll add it to some yoni steams, but it's not something that I regularly drink. Mm-hmm. But I found drinking it incredibly, purifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is so humble. I feel like you wouldn't expect such a grace and such a power from her. Mm. I feel she's really taught us a lot, or at least I can speak for me. Like having this space, I was reflecting. I'm like, wow, I remember on our last call, I was mooning. And I was just so in this like liminal space of being in such a dreamy state, and to be honest, like not fully feeling my full presence on the call, like feeling like I just wanted to like literally lay back in lavender fields and say nothing. And it's almost like that being our first call paved the way for us to just kind of lean back and go on our own journeys and rest in her energy in whatever way that looked like. Mm. And it's always just so profound to see how each plant that we work with has its own way of moving us through these calls. And I'm just really moved by that. And I did look it up, the Latin name or the type of species of lavender is lavendula.
Lavendula.
Lavendula. Lavendula spica. Lavendula. Also known as angustifolia.
Wow, it has such the Latin name has more depth to it than lavender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love her. She's so sweet. I'm looking at the difference of species that I have here. I have like kind of the regular lavenders, similar to the ones you have that have the little buds on the long stems, and then the ones that have more of the crown coming out at the top with the thicker buds. And I think I'm going to weave these into a crown for my friend's blessing way. Mm. We're going to make her a crown to honor her rite of passage into becoming another, well, she already is a mother, but welcoming her second baby. And it feels like that Lavender will really be with her through the birth process. I wonder if Lavender was used in birth ceremonies to like help calm the mind of the woman going into labor.
Well, I was really curious to quickly look up the etymology of lavender after you looked up the Latin, and it comes from the word laver, which is to wash. And lavender was used in, I think it said, the Middle Age and the Renaissance right up to modern times, as a perfume in toilet waters, potpourri, in sachets, and in aromatherapy. So it's been used for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I can definitely imagine, you know, seeing lavender used, you know, the Renaissance just had such an air of luxury to it. In my memory of, you know, women taking milk baths and having luxurious balms and things like that to tend to themselves. And, you know, still today in a lot of feminine mixtures for herbs, I see lavender often added in there. So I have no doubt that she may have been called upon at various stages of the birthing of women. And it is quite profound that she's, the way that she looks as well, she's incredibly delicate. Like the ones that you have with the larger bulb on them have a little bit more of a hearty look to them. But overall, lavender is such a soft, delicate plant that is numbers, like so strong in numbers, you know, and you really see that. You don't often just see one lavender on her own, like a rose. You can see a rose on its own and it's like, whoa. But lavender is always together. It's always like a big family of them is together, and the bushes are huge. Like the bushes that I harvested from were, I was like, oh yeah, it won't take that long to harvest the lavender off of these 11 bushes. But then you actually get into it and you don't realize how many strands of lavender are on one bush. And it takes a long time. But, you know, I was thinking about her softness in comparison to the rose, because the rose teaches us as well, like softness is your strength. Softness is opening, and there's a, well, I don't think we've ever used that word, that softness is powerful, but with lavender, there's this sense that the softness that the lavender teaches and shares has an immensity of power to it, that it's like, you know, because I found that her softness drops you into such a deep presence. You're not drifting into the past or going into the future with her softness and her presence. You're here and now in like a dispersed nothingness or everythingness that is really gentle and easeful to digest. And as I'm sure you know as well, with the type of work that you do is, you know, in transformation and in emotional healing and in womb work, is that presence and allowance is remarkably transformational and healing. And I'm a bit in awe at the moment of like, ooh, you sneaky lavender. You might have deeper capacities than anyone's ever been willing to recognize. If she can really, you know, invite, like when you really connect to her essence. So it's almost as if I see that every plant has the possibility of having three different layers or maybe more, but you have to really be invitational with it and intentional to access the depth of the medicine and the gifts that they have. And I really found in our first call that it was like, ooh, whoa, I'm still in awe of that last call that we did with her. Now we've touched on this cleansing aspect that I'm like, wow, yeah, laver to wash.
Mm-hmm. As you were saying that, I just had like visions, and maybe it was memories coming back to me of being with a group of women and not being alone, but like being with like the lavender in the way, like being with many women, many souls, and going to the well and washing, or going to the river and bathing, or to the natural springs and having lavender and you know, washing and just being in that sacred space of cleansing. And I almost envision like taking the hot water and massaging the lavender in my hands and using that as with a warm cloth to like open up the pores and yeah, to let it cleanse, to let it wash. And there, yeah, is something I just felt like the violet flame so strong with the lavender, and that it's cleansing, it's washing, but it's also like an energetic cleanse too, in a way. I feel like all the plants that we've connected to will have a cleansing energy, because like the earth is so naturally cleansing to me. Yeah, it was just such a beautiful vision. I feel like I can be transported into so many different ways of washing the body and being in ritual and being in, you know, sacred ceremony, in a way of purifying ourselves and really nourishing the body and bringing attention and care and presence to ourselves as women together, not just alone, but really honoring the power that is in numbers, that when we come together, we can really, you know, nourish all parts of ourselves, as we can't always reach our backs, all of our backs. But if we have someone there to support us, you know, we can reach the areas that we can't touch. And I think that's so beautiful about coming together to do this work, you know? What a sweet gem. Thank you, Mama Earth. I'm so grateful for lavender.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating, you know, that to hear you say that the earth is cleansing, because it's true. Like when we connect to the earth and to the natural elements, every element in and of itself offers some form of cleansing, and maybe that's our natural state. Maybe these plants and the elements just connect us to our natural state, and what is being cleansed is that which is not natural.
Yeah, like brings us back into what is real. Yeah,
it's interesting to have that perspective of cleansing. And what if it's not really cleansing? What if simply connecting with plants and receiving them is just a returning? And it removes from us that which we don't need to carry in our organic state, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, how could you be mad or in a state that is not love when you pick up a flower and really look at it and smell it and be with it? Like, if I was upset, I would look at this flower and my heart would soften, because it's just so precious. It's like seeing a child's smile, you know, it just warms you up. It lights your heart up. It's hard to stay in a state of anger. I feel similar when I look at this lavender bud. She's just so beautiful. It's like it instantly brings me joy. It instantly connects me to love. It connects me to my heart. It connects me to beauty. It it feels orgasmic. Like I just, oh, it's so nice to have. And I'm sure you felt this last time having the fresh lavender. Like it's so nice to have fresh flowers. I'm so grateful that it's summer here in a few days or coming up to summer solstice. And I'm just delighted.
Yeah. And there's an incredible medicine with lavender specifically, I find, with the smell, like the depth of feeling it into my body in that smell is so incredible. And I might have mentioned this in our last call that, you know, I personally find that the smell of lavender in and of herself, dried, fresh, is so strong that I don't know why anyone ever felt the need to turn her into an essential oil to strengthen her. I personally find it too much.
Yeah.
Lavender essential oils. I'm just like, ooh, whoa. It's like, yeah, it goes too deep and becomes sharp. It distorts the softness in my personal experience with her.
I'm looking forward to putting the lavender in the still and making lavender hydrosol.
Yeah.
Seeing how that feels. It'll be amazing. You know, I'm curious, like, as you traveled with lavender and you carried her with you, was there any place or anywhere on your journey where you really felt her whispering to you or felt her kind of pulling you into her softness or her message, like her presence that she was holding there, you know, as maybe you had her in the back of your mind, almost forgetting that she was in the car with you? Or, you know, I'm curious if there was whispers or if just her essence really spoke to you on your way.
You know, there was a small bundle that I hung from my rearview mirror. And she's still there. I look at her every time I get in the car. And there were some times, you know, as you know, there was some very challenging moments on that journey. And I would often grab the bundle and take a deep breath of her. Like, I very intentionally brought her after our call, knowing that the journey was to be about becoming as present as possible so that I could hear my inner voice and be guided that way. And so she was just with me a lot, you know. And I think that the moments that I had almost every day of being in awe of the beauty of the land, of waking with the sunrise, of finding physical experiences of stillness and expansion and being so deeply aware of that intricate woven connection to the natural world. She was with me the whole time, even when I became unconscious with it. But she definitely very much helped still me in moments where the trip was getting very wobbly. You know, and even now as I roll a flower between my fingers and take a smell, it's sweet and cool, and my heart softens open. But there's also an interesting sense that I have with this that I didn't experience with cedar or rose, is that I can feel my base a lot. I can feel my vulva, like I can feel my root at the same time. Almost like the pillar that is lavender, you know, she's grown on this very long
fairly straight stem that always seems to have a balance to it. It's like that really comes into my body. Mm. And it's not really girthy and solid. It's just very delicate. I really feel like she has so much to teach about femininity and grace and delicacy. And, you know, when I feel into her and what she may have to teach with femininity, is it may have a lot to do with some very traditional teachings of femininity, of poise, of grace, of humbleness. Because this is exactly what I see in her, is she is a little bit like the light side of women from maybe like 1800s, 1900s, and up until 40s, 50s, where it started to shift. But I could just imagine her being like this gorgeous, graceful etiquette teacher. Teaching on like feminine etiquette and like the gifts of being a woman and being delicate and poised and steady.
Mm-hmm. I love that, you know, and so many people I think turn against that and are, you know, baffled that that is the way women were taught. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I'm so traditional. I understand there was oppression and, you know, the patriarchy really didn't allow women to have much of a voice or to stand in her power. And she had to be soft. She had to be poised. She could not speak up. But in a way, there's such a surrendered, supple, soft way of truly being in that feminine space that I miss. Mm. That I truly wish our society still had, in a way. Of course, like not the necessarily harsh measures of control that came with that. But yeah, it was fascinating, actually, in my classroom the other day. Part of our practice or the exercise was to write down our gender that we identify with and to name some of the qualities of that gender that defines that role. So I wrote down nurturer, soft, tending in the sense of like tending to the household, tending to the community, tending to the children, like a tender, you know, and a caregiver and a nurturer and a creator. And we could only write down five or six words. So those were the words that really stood out to me: soft, grace, gracious. And we went around the room, and then at the end, the teacher said, okay, now rip it up. And I thought, I don't want to rip this up. Like, why? I like all these things. I love being these things. Mm. Why am I going to rip it up? And everyone else in the class ripped it up and they were proud to rip it up. And I know, you know, a lot of these women were proud to perhaps identify with other qualities of the feminine. But for me, I was like, no, I love these qualities about myself. And I even shared, like, I want to protect these qualities within myself. I want to nourish these. I want to remain soft. I want to remain a nurturer, a caregiver. I want to, you know, be gracious. And it just felt like, again, one of the ways that the feminine is perhaps being taken from the traditional way and placed into a more masculine role. When a woman comes into her power, she does not need to be soft. For example, I think that's a running belief that is new in our culture. And for me, a woman, when she is soft, that is her power. And I fully want to see women speaking up and being in their truth, being in their power, shining strong in who they are. And I know there's a place for all of us, no matter what qualities we bring forward, but why condemn what was? Why take away what is the feminine qualities and replace it with something that is more masculine? That was really moving. I cried. I went home after that class and I just cried because I just felt, yeah, really, really touched. And just moved, you know, feeling firstly how I feel the feminine is being lost, but also crying, feeling the like oppression of the patriarchy and how, you know, women and how our society and how so many different folks going through race wars, like just the discrimination, the oppression from the institutions. And, you know, the way that the world has from the very beginning had this tension between the differences. And yeah, it was just a really big day for me. And I really wish I had Lavender with me. I was driving home, actually. I'm just being reminded. I was driving home. I was at a stoplight. And I stopped and I wanted to get out and I opened my door to get the lavender and then the light turned green and I had to go.
Oh,
I was like going for her because she was right there. And I'm like, oh, lavender, just seeing the purple, seeing that color, like calmed me immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting. And I actually really love this topic. I really, really do. I think this is a really important topic. And it's something I've been exploring myself over the last little while of recognizing this place within me that's almost aching to be allowed to express in this current world as a feminine woman, not as a feminist. You know, I remember the first time that I felt and allowed myself to speak the fact that I just wanted to be a mother and to tend to the home and the hearth.
Mm-hmm.
I cried feeling a sense of shame because I could hear these voices of women telling me how horrible that was to want that.
Right? I have those tears. I was crying those tears with you, sister.
Yeah.
It's like, why is that such a horrible thing to desire now?
Yeah, well, you know, the feminist movement really offered some interesting progress. I would say that some of it is beneficial and some of it has been incredibly wounding.
Mm-hmm.
To the truth of the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how I look at it now after going through my experiences of allowing the feminine to express herself by being powerful and creative and that she can be big and do whatever she wants. Part of me is like, I almost feel like a lot of that is deeply rooted in the child not being allowed to express and do what she wants. Because as children, we're innocent and we should be welcomed in expressing our full range. And you know, maybe this isn't for all women, you know, as a woman, you can express yourself as a woman in any way you choose. But there's something kind of stirring around the femininity, the feminine in and of herself, is that I think that there's the possibility that, you know, when a young female chooses to become a feminine woman, that's why they had etiquette classes. That's why they were encouraged to learn how to build the skills to become an incredible homemaker. That's why they were encouraged to learn grace, to learn how to be a good host, to learn the skills of sewing and cooking and preserving and, you know, family tending in some ways. And obviously there were various different levels of this depending on your stature back in the day, you know, your status in society. But it's been so demonized. And it baffles me that it's been demonized, because now we have mass amounts of women as single mothers who have to be the homemaker and somehow figure out how to also be the breadwinner. And I really feel that the feminist movement and some of the narrative in it has a lot to do with that. Because I think I would guess, I would make a strong, pretty confident guess that the feminist movement is what has created this internal shame with women that feels like they're not worthy and not good enough, and it's not okay for them to want to be a woman who stays at home and be a mother, and that wants a man who is interested in providing and protecting. And so what that has created inside of women is this distortion that then attracts men who aren't initiated into wanting to actually be masculine men and be providers and to support their families, and that they're valued in that. And so these women attract men, and it's this whole debacle, essentially, of like, yeah, our inherent nature is to yearn to create, and biologically that's to create children, to create a family. But then we've got all this other stuff mixed in the bag that says, well, that's not good enough. Oh, and don't forget, men, you're not just that. That if anyone thinks you're just that, then that's not okay. And women, you're not just that. If anyone thinks that you're that, that's not okay. But I really feel that it creates an internal dynamic of conflict. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've experienced in myself over the last couple of years after this first came up. I'm like, ooh, you know, and the first time I felt anything similar to that was when I started giving myself permission to simply rest during my menstruation. It was a very similar energy of like, okay, I'm giving myself permission to rest. But then I had this internal conflict that was like, what do you mean you're just resting? You can't, you have to keep going. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself. You know, you're not good enough. You're not worthy then if you're not also doing X, Y, Z. It was a very similar energy and voice inside of me that was demonizing me for yearning and longing to play, to experience purely focusing my feminine energy on being a mother and a homemaker and the hearth tender of the home.
Mm-hmm. And not needing to worry necessarily about providing for yourself in that way.
Yeah.
I still hear you. And you know, you speak of the feminist movement, and I think a big part of the rift in the story is also the process of creating birth control. Because here you have all these women giving birth, being connected to tending the home, to, you know, like it was a natural way. And then you bring in birth control that all of a sudden introduces hormones that are, you know, chemically induced. And creating that imbalance in the inner feminine body, but also in the outer world within society. And now women can control if they can get pregnant or not, and then men gaining more power over women in that way and playing that role of God in a way, right? I feel that was so detrimental to the way forward in what we're seeing play out in society now.
Mm.
Because it disconnected us from what was natural, and it brought this new way of interacting with nature. And it shifted the dynamic where women no longer needed to necessarily be the home tenders, because they didn't even need to have children. They could go to work. They could start to do things that before they might have not have had the blessing or the opportunity to, because they would be with children, because they would be with baby. And so, yeah, I'm curious if, I wish I could just go back in time and see the reels. And you know, a part of me is so thirsty for the history, and yet I haven't fully steeped myself into understanding the different ways the movements played out.
Well, I like that you bring up the reality of birth control and how that has played a role, because our hormones are an expression. They are what help us express the truth of who we are. And if our hormones are off, whether because of synthetic affect or for whatever other reason, we express differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding what our, you know, organic design is hormonally is really important. And I'm sure it's been affected in numerous different ways. So the fact that the way in which we're living, and I know I see this myself, and I can almost guarantee that any other woman that supports women with hormonal health sees it as well, is women's hormones get out of balance when they're trying to work like men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I hate to break it to you, to any sisters who are listening to this right now, but sweetheart, you are not put here on this planet to function like a man. You were built differently. You were built cyclical. You were built rhythmically. And you were built to move a little slower. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's your gift. That's your gift, because when you allow yourself to move in your rhythm, you become incredibly magnetic and you draw things to you rather than needing to go out there and fight for them,
mm-hmm.
to strive for them, to hunt for them. Hunting energy is not necessarily a purely yin essence. Yin is earth drawing down. Yang is shooting out, going to get. And with the birth control, you know, and hearing your desire to kind of want to go back in time, there was a show that I got really obsessed with a couple of years ago that I watched all of, called Call the Midwife.
Mm.
It's an English show that was created. And as far as I know, they made it a concerted effort to make the information true and correct, because it was done in like the
what era would that have been? 40s? Between the 40s and 60s, maybe?
When they England? Started to transfer into the hospitals?
Yeah, so it was, yeah, you know, the 40s. Nuns. Mm-hmm. The nuns used to be the midwives, and they would go into people's homes. And then through the show, they show you how, I think, birth control and formula came in first. And then slowly, they created the gas to numb them, to relax them and numb them when they were in labor. And then they slowly started to introduce the birthing homes. And then they wanted to just take them into the hospitals, and then C-section. So this show touches on all of it throughout the many seasons that there are. But it was, wow, so incredibly insightful to see how they marketed it to women in a way where pretty much every woman wanted it. And it was only the midwives who were like, no, 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 no. This is not okay. This is not good. Mm-hmm. But they weren't allowed to fight against it. Mm-hmm. They were discouraged. Mm-hmm. And at that time as well, the 40s were really hard in a lot of places. At least in England it was. I believe that's around the time where the Depression was happening, or was, you know, they were coming out of it. So there was a lot of poverty, a lot of challenge, a lot of scarcity. And women were tired of getting pregnant and popping out children and not having their partners home to support them, because they had to work all day, every day, just to feed them just enough. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that has gone into pushing men and women towards this new reality that we're in right now, that many of us are finding doesn't work, or it's not working. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that in the perfect world, whether you're born in a male or a female body, you should be experiencing balance. You should be you have the right to experience health as you were designed to experience it. And you have the right to receive support, to get back, to come back into health, and to know what that feels like. And from that place of health and balance, you have every right to express yourself however you choose to. You're a sovereign being. And as far as I understood, the feminist movement was about supporting women in longing for what they wanted, whatever that was. And unfortunately, the voices that are now in many women's heads, and that many women actually experience externally, is women shaming other women for longing to be mothers and wives and homemakers.
And I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't say that's all of them, but there are some voices within the feminist movement that, yeah, have a firm belief that women that choose that.
Well, if we look at the feminist movement as an energy that then became an entity, so it became a gregor, mm-hmm. It became something of its own consciousness, let's say. The word feminist connects to that entity, and that entity feels very angry, mm-hmm. and self-righteous and pained and resistant to what it is that we're talking about now, which is an experience of delicateness, mm-hmm. and poise and grace and family focused.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm saying is I feel there's two streams within that. So I feel there are women that would identify as feminists who support women to be poised, to support women to be connected to, you know, caretaking and tending to the home and being mothers and showing up in the ways that were the ancient ways of feminine essence, of feminine being, of feminine receptivity. And then on the shadow side of that, there are women that are enraged, that are completely bitter, that want nothing to do with that type of feminine being, that want women to be empowered in a masculinized sense and want to see women thriving to the point where they are swinging the pendulum so far that they want to remove men out of society. I've heard feminist speakers speaking down and emasculating men, saying this man deserves to die. Like the anger that women have towards men because of the way that they have been oppressed and because of the way that the system, the organizations that the patriarchy has cultivated and formed over time. Like a lot of women have rage towards that. And on some level, I think part of it is righteous. There is that, you know, righteous rage around feeling the anger and the like unfathomable rage at how we are living so separate from our cyclical ways of being. I do feel there are a lot of women that are fighting to return back to that. But when it comes from that place of anger that is not connected to grace, that is not connected to love or compassion, or that receptivity of welcoming in the one who has harmed in forgiveness, then I feel we're just perpetuating that war energy. And that's not feminine to me. You know, like war, that is such a masculine movement. And I feel as women, we've uproared into a war against the man. And again, like, these are the tears that I was crying the other day, like feeling the separation, feeling the division of all different races, of sexes, the gender personification. It feels like war on some level, you know, like everyone trying to bring their beliefs forward and their ideals forward and what they're protecting forward, what they are essentially, what they identify with, bringing that forward. And within all of this, it feels like, where's the center point? Where's the like true love, I guess? Where's the love that connects us all, that can tear down these walls? And it just feels like ever since we've been on earth, we've experienced some form of oppression. We've experienced some form of divide. And this is where we're at, is looking at it all and just being like, wow, how far have we come from? I don't even know like where we've come from, because it just feels so far removed. But for me, in my being, I love connecting to what is feminine, what is the essence of this lavender. I feel strong in my tenderness. I feel soft and powerful. I feel like I can receive so much in doing nothing. And I love tending to my home, being in the garden, harvesting the medicine, connecting to the cycles, you know, just living simply. I feel lavender is so simple.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, she's quite special. And I'm grateful for the conversation today, you know, like, because this is something that you and I haven't actually ever spoken about either. And I feel a sense of like unwinding in my belly to hear from another woman that I know personally that you've also had this sense and this longing. And, you know, what I've been realizing over my own healing around my feminine and my body and my heart and my womb is that pain and that righteous anger, well, what it does energetically is it hardens. It creates armor.
Yeah.
And the gift of the feminine essence is in her softness and her receptivity to allow life to touch her and to her to feel life touching her, even when it's painful. It's really hard to access and embody your true feminine when you're walled up, when you're protecting yourself, like overtly protecting yourself because of something painful in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope and I pray that lavender offers every woman a bridge to knowing the immensity and the power of this soft openness, and that lavender may guide you in allowing some of that armor and those old pains to be cleansed so that you feel safe in knowing that you can be open, that you can be gentle and delicate and poised, that you can still let life touch you and be stable, that you don't have to crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Or fight.
And that's what the sisterhood, that's what the woman gathering together provides, is that space where we can come and cleanse and cry and hold each other. Because truth be told, the men could try to understand, but their brain is wired so differently that they may never, perhaps, you know, with epigenetics and how the brain is shifting and how we're evolving, you know, over time, perhaps it might. I don't want to, you know, take that away from the men that are able to connect. But women will always be able to connect on a level that is unique to our being, our makeup, our wiring. And I feel that's why it's so important we find sister circles, we find each other, so that we can return to the well and bathe in that receptive energy and be reminded that it's okay to soften our hearts. This world is hard. We have to work so hard as women now to stay afloat here. And yet the more we gather, I feel the more we return to that old way of remembering that it doesn't have to be hard. It really doesn't.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I'm just drinking that in right now. It doesn't have to be hard.
I can feel my body just like taking a deep breath, like as you're saying, breathing in that lavender, like how calming it is for the nervous system. And just like, yeah, it doesn't have to be hard.
Mm.
Can rest in pillows of lavender. And yeah, what else do you need? Such a potent energy. Yeah,
it is. And when you really, you know, I see this in you a lot, and I've started to experience this more and more, is
the more you soften into that ease and that allowance and allowing life to be with you and touch you, there's a radiance and a joy that just starts to bubble and things don't feel so heavy. You know, and that's a gift. And I tell you what, men who can really see it and they know it, they want women to be in that state because her in that state is a gift in and of itself. And I sincerely pray that the world finds its way back into this. Because what an incredible world we would live in if more and more women were just relaxed in their bodies and their nervous systems. Not collapsed and thinking that they're relaxed, but truly in their bodies and can feel that flow of juiciness and sweetness and love and generosity and gratitude, and that the men of the world appreciate it and want to create more of it. Because when a woman is in this space, she's feeding life. She's also feeding everyone around her with that essence that's oozing from her. That is effortless nurturance. That is an effortless gift. But we need to remember that our giving is effortless, that it's not about how many clients can we tend to, or how much stuff can we make, or how much money can we make to then do this and that and that and that and that and that and that. Because if you really start paying attention, functioning from that place almost starts to squeeze the tap closed.
Mm-hmm. We've come so far. When you think about how long it would take to be in the garden harvesting, milking the cow, tending to the food, like how long we would spend in the fields. It was such a slow process. Everything took so long. Mm-hmm. Now we can literally get Amazon packages delivered to our doorstep. We don't even have to travel on horseback. Like, we're also adjusting to this world. And I feel for us to truly experience that place of being held, we have to focus our minds and our hearts and our bodies into opening up and softening to invite the masculine to hold us again. So when I think of the feminist movement that is in the shadow stream, where it is so against men, it just breaks my heart, because I feel we need more women that are connected in their hearts towards the men, that can inspire the men to show up and provide for them, that can inspire the men to become the leaders that we need them to be. Like, we need men to lead. Men have been our containers. They hold the space for us to flow through. They're like that constant, like male essence is that constant consciousness. And we're what creates the color, the tone, the texture, creates the beauty that flows into that space. Mm-hmm. And when we try to do that all on our own, of course we're going to harden. So I feel like it's so important that we invite the men back into their rightful place in society and not try to outcast them.
Mm.
And yeah, find the forgiveness. And yeah, we have a long way to go. You know, yeah. We're adapting in a society that is so fast-paced. It's like, how do we slow it down as women? And I don't have the answer.
I think that how we will slow it down is the more women that are in that space in and of themselves, their nervous systems, their heart, their womb is going to become such an immense magnetic force. Like the essence, like the smell of lavender. Imagine that all the women that make it into that embodiment become a lavender stalk with flowers. The smell, you wouldn't be able to not slow down.
I see all
it
the
just
bees.
Would. All the bees.
All the bees. To drink. And like perhaps like the busyness of the bee, like being connected into nature, serving the queen, right? Mm-hmm. Bringing balance back to serving the queen in a way that, yeah.
The earth, you know, serving the earth. And maybe the men, you know, if you see it this way, the men are the bees, but in order for the bees to make honey, the flowers need to be open to give their pollen, to give their nectar. If the flowers close, sister, if your heart is closed, he can't show up. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing and experiencing myself more and more with this more traditional wisdom is when a woman allows herself to be in her vulnerability in a graceful way, to express the truth of her heart, no matter how painful it is, allows him to see it and to know it. Depending on what type of man he is and how much healing you've both done, it either inspires him to rise because he recognizes how beautiful you are in your vulnerability, and he rises to want to take care of it and protect it and make sure that there's a space for you. But if you're hiding it,
they'll never learn.
Then how is he to know better?
Yeah.
If you're like, no, I got this. I'm good. I got my own inner man going on. It's all good. I got it. And it is, you know, I'm not saying it's easy. That's for sure. I've done this myself, and it's, you meet some challenging edges. Noticing how tricky it is to soften and allow him to receive him in how he wants to give and show up. You know, there's been a crazy inversion that's happened in humanity, that we look at the mothers and the women as givers, when the truth is that if you look at our bodies, especially our sex organs, we're receivers. And then we're meant to overflow. That's our giving in our being, in the beingness. We overflow, and that's how we give. It's not in the effort of giving, so to speak. So there's been a wild inversion that's happened, which hopefully we'll continue this in our next call. Because I know that we have to slowly move towards wrapping up for today. So, Kelsey, I actually want to toss the ball over to you. And I'm curious if there's a point of reflection that you would like to offer our beautiful listeners who've joined us today with this conversation and with the presence of lavender.
Thank you. I suppose what's coming up in this conversation is the reflection questions of, how do you feel about your gender? And if you identify as female, what does being a female mean to you? Because I really want to honor how we all connect to what being feminine is for us. That there is no right or wrong way, but there might be some of us that do remember the ancient ways that are connected to that way of being the caregiver and the tender and the nurturer. Mm-hmm. And so Yeah, just to connect with that, what is it within yourself? And when you look at these qualities, is there something that you have learned that is more masculine? And is there a quality that maybe is being invited to soften more into a place of receptivity? And then to invite a reflection of even further, going into looking at what is your relationship like with the masculine, both within yourself, but within your relationships with men in your outer life as well. Perhaps reflecting on, you know, are you harboring any resentments towards the masculine? And have you hardened yourself? And do you find that you're working to show up for yourself in a masculine way because you are living in resentment? And if you are, just inviting that place of softening, of tenderness, of spaciousness, to really open your heart and to welcome forgiveness, to welcome the strength that is softening, that is tenderizing, that is placing yourself on the altar of vulnerability, of humility, and perhaps inviting the masculine to come and witness you there so that we can guide him and show him and lead by example that way, that we can set the tone for what being connected to our feminine is, so that they can learn and remember what it means to protect that as well. Because when we're soft, we need protection. And I feel that's a very strong masculine essence or quality that has become lost as we've tried to just protect ourselves. Those are some questions that arise and stir inside me. And we have both, you know, we are connected to masculine and feminine within us. I think gender is such a hot topic. And so I just want to, just acknowledge that maybe some things that we shared isn't going to resonate for everyone. And we're not here to offend in any way, but just to speak our truth. And so I just invite you to take what lands and leave what doesn't. And just enjoy connecting with Lavender in your own way. Inviting that spaciousness and that reminder of what is feminine to you.
Thank you, Kelsey. Some beautiful reflection pieces. And I sincerely thank you for the conversation and exploration. And I deeply bow to honor this profound essence of the lavender for her gifts today. And I so look forward to our final exploration with her when that happens.
I
look forward to gathering with you all there. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings.